I'm getting like pretty military about it because we're going to implement a bot. So having a bot forces me to have more defined processes. But now I've just come to the conclusion, you know, if I want to have more clients, I need more processes, and I want my clients to feel like they're going through a well-established path.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Laundry Basket Podcast. Today, I'm very, very excited to be bringing you another nerdy business episode, but this time we are interviewing Frida about her business, so her immigration consulting. I want to call it a firm because it's just, like, that feels like the right...
Sometimes I say an agency.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's what we are going to be diving into, getting into all the cool details. I think if you heard our last episode, you know that Rita was just on this business slash pleasure trip to Mexico, and she was doing all of these really cool, it was like outreach as well as interviews and seminars. So we're going to get into all of it today. So thank you for being here and listening.
Having me, I feel like I'm being interviewed like every day. Okay, background on my business. I started it in 2014. I do consultancy for people who want to immigrate to Canada. And in the last few years, focusing on business immigration through investment and opening companies here in Canada. And most of my market, most, not all, is from Latin America. And I have a few employees. Right now I have 2 employees. In the past I've had more, but then the pandemic came and it made me do lots of changes of my business in my business. I'm an open book. Ask away.
Wonderful. Okay. So I know like we did our episodes earlier when we first started the podcast, kind of doing just like a general business talk. So we're going to get a little bit more in depth on like the present with the business. So we'll just start with 2 areas of your business that you feel are really succeeding right now.
Okay. So one area is similar to when you did your interview that you were saying you love how the traffic and how you make money while you're sleeping. I have something similar in the sense that I have a constant inflow of leads that convert into clients. And I have a booking calendar in my website. And I kid you not, if I don't block time on that calendar, I would be in meetings all the time. And these are paid meetings. These are people who just somewhere in the world land on my website and book a meeting with me, and they pay money to talk to me. And it's a blessing. Like after having worked so hard to just, I have like the opposite problem. I'm like, if I don't block off my calendar, it's going to get packed.
I was going to say, this is like beyond a blessing. This is like every business owner's dream, because a lot of like the biggest, I would say, especially for online businesses, the biggest obstacle is like obtaining new clients and having that like outreach that you have to put in effort with marketing. And so do you feel like there's something that you've done to keep that flow happening? Has that, is it always been that way? Like, how do you feel like you've
achieved that? It hasn't always been that way. It has been, I have like a marketing arsenal. Like I'm just constantly aware that I can't just sit on my laurels. I think that that's the mindset and the attitude of being like, okay, maybe this month things are good. I can't expect that just because I had this one blog post that did really well, or I had like one client who was happy and he referred 2 clients, and I'm like, oh my God, look at all these. But I'm constantly thinking kind of like that same mindset when you just start and you're like, I need people to know who I am. Nobody knows me. I need to know. So I keep that energy going without the fear. Because when I started, I had a lot of that anxiety of like, when's the next client going to come around? Like, obviously I don't have that anxiety, but I keep the same mindset to motivate myself to constantly do marketing as if it was day one and as if nobody knew me. So obviously at some point it becomes exponential.
And that's, it's almost like your insurance that you're putting into your business constantly by just continuing to do that. marketing. Mm-hmm. So what do you feel like the marketing, the most effective marketing technique you've done is for this specific success?
I would say two. I'm not going to say the cliche, like give a good service, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Like we just,
that's true.
You know, we're just going to assume that if you give a good service, obviously you're going to get referrals. So that you could say that that's your first marketing strategy, but I'm going to talk about that. The first strategy is trust. So two things. People are in another country. I can't expect them to just read something or see my picture and all of a sudden connect. These people need to see my voice, hear my voice. They need to see my face. They need to see how I move, my hands, my way of talking, all of that. Mm-hmm. And since day one, I've been doing videos and it's evolved, right? Like obviously now my videos have like top quality. When I started, it was super, it's kind of cute, but it was like super, super bad. Also, technology wasn't the same. Like now with a phone, you can make an amazing video, whereas before, no. But forget phone. Now I have like Julio with his like professional camera shooting the videos and all. So videos, and in my videos, I give information, lots of information, because if you are kind of like jealous with your information, you can like kind of protect it and be like, no, if I say too much, then nobody will pay me because I'm just going to give it all for free. It's mm-hmm. the contrary. You say a lot and the person's like, oh, this person knows a lot. It doesn't mean like, sure, maybe someone is going to take my information and go to another consultant or even do things on their own. And that's fine because there's a whole other percentage of people who are going to be like, I still want her to take care of my case because she knows so much.
She knows what you're talking about.
Like the strategy of giving away a lot of free information also is what justifies me telling people to pay when they actually want a one-on-one because I've given them so much for free already. Mm-hmm. A lot. Like this is like hours. Like my YouTube channel has hours of me in video.
Right.
And then what I try to do, and this is like up in the game, is those business trips when I go and I meet with people and then get on the media. There's a cost for this. It's not just like some reporter got interested in me and is like, oh, you sound interesting. You know, some, yes, but I don't know any reporters in Mexico. I've had to pay an agency and that agency opened the doors to the reporters. Like now I have two agencies, but like, those things don't come out of thin air. So there was like a whole strategy thought behind, and like so then I get these videos of me on the media, like in an actual, in like one of the best media channels. I was published, I'll give you an example, just last week I was published in The Economist.
Wow,
like that's a big deal. The Economist Mexico. But you know, there I was, like they interviewed me and they wrote an article about that and my name is there, my company's name is there. So obviously this has a lot of weight, and I've been on TV in Mexico as well. So then they give me that MP4 and I put that MP4 in my YouTube, in my website. So how that trust factor, which is one of the hardest part, you know, when it comes to my business, it's just like automatic, you know, that my clients are like, oh, you know, they take it seriously. So,
yeah, it seems like it's really snowballed also. It's like you started with just on a small level, just building the trust with individual clients by providing that free information. And then you did the outreach with an agency and you start to even build the trust on a larger scale with like strangers who may not even know about you. And then they see you on the media and that builds even more trust because for whatever reason, people just really trust people on TV.
They do.
And they really just do. And then like The Economist, that's huge. That's such a reputable source. And now you have people in the business world who I'm sure are just like going about their days and reading about you. And then now you're becoming like a more well-known person in the immigration world. It's just... It's really well thought out.
And I think that that's the second thing that I'm most feeling successful of. It's not only do I have leads and people paying to talk to me and then hiring me, it's the niche that I'm getting into. And it's funny because we talked about niche in your podcast.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for me. Like immigration is a huge world, but then I was like, no, I want to do business immigration. But business immigration is like, they're even pickier because it's like,
yeah,
just because of the personality traits of the person who wants to invest, they're going to be pickier. People think, oh, because they have more money, they can just throw their money away. No, on the contrary, people with more money are actually more picky.
Right.
Because they care about quality so much that, you know, your value proposition has to be impeccable. So me having built everything that I've built to cater to that community and then mm-hmm. have that community have me as an authority, you know, for their immigration process and their business purchasing or opening companies in Canada. So that feels successful. And obviously, it was my goal when I started. And yeah. now that I'm in it and I feel like I have the maturity and the confidence for it that I obviously lacked at the beginning, even though the goal is there, but your maturity level is like not ready for it yet. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like, but that's every business is kind of like that. So yeah, that's the other success that I'm like, I feel like now I'm an authority in business immigration niche specifically. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that? I mean, you said this was a goal that you always had, but do you feel like even when you were like scared to do it, were you still making intentional little drops in the bucket to get to that niche?
Time.
Or was it like you just recently started to really like drive towards that?
From day one, I was yeah. like, from day one, I was like, I'll take, you know, and it was slow. The first, at the beginning, I was only focusing on like, let's say, specifically Mexico has the biggest free trade agreement, right? Canada, Mexico, and USA. So I was like, well, I'm going to start offering the business service only to people from Mexico. And I'm going to only offer this one, like this one specific program. And I'm only going to do the immigration portion. But then that grew. Like now we don't just do immigration. Now we like create companies. Now I have an alliance with somebody in Ontario who takes care of my clients who go to Ontario as well. Now I provide like bookkeeping services. Now I provide business trip exploration services where, you know, I take them. I have like relationship with bank account managers. So it's just like it kept growing. So now I offer a full package for my business clients. And that Wow. was gradual.
Yeah, that takes, I can imagine like years and years to build plans. All of those systems.
Yeah,
like
years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Can you share maybe like two or three of your like most exciting clients, just like an idea of businesses that you're working on with them right now?
Oh, my clients, yeah. Businesses. Yeah. So, okay. I'll give you one. It's a client. He actually purchased a business and I just thought it was really cool. He purchased a business that's dedicated to raw food for pets.
Oh, okay.
And there's this whole philosophy, and this is the cool thing. I learned so much through my clients, right? So he was telling me that there's like a huge philosophy of people who believe that animals, specifically pets, are not meant to eat processed little foods,
kibble.
Like the pebbles or whatever.
Yeah, kibble.
So they're supposed to eat things that are just like in nature. And a lot of times it includes other animal meat as well. So this store only sells food based on like raw products and stuff like that. Like nothing is processed.
So
what we've been doing, the business plan for him, he's purchasing a business and then he like adds money to like rebrand as we were talking and like modernizing. Cause a lot of the businesses are just like operate on very, very non-efficient, like the inventory is like by hand and stuff like that. So they're like modernizing the whole system. So that's one of them. Another, and then I have like this girl, for example, who's she's an architect / interior designer. So she was really like, she really always wanted to be here. And she's like, you know, super motivated because the interior design here, according to her is like up a level because of all the new developments and all the fancy hotels. And like, there's like a whole culture of impressing the guests and impressing everyone with the interior design or even the design of like hotels and bars and stuff. So she's like, oh, I really want to be in that. So, you know, she opened a company here for that and she just got her work permit actually like 2 months ago. So yeah, like there's all kinds.
This like sounds so much more fun than just like doing an application for an individual. And obviously, yeah, like on the individual level, you are impacting people's lives and helping mm-hmm. people so much, but you're still helping people so much on the business level, but it's just yeah. more creative. Like you get to just yeah. learn, like you said, you learn with every new client about a new industry, and you get to kind of like mm-hmm. be a student at the same time that you're helping them with this like life changing
exactly.
move that they're making. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. So on the other hand, what do you feel like you are struggling with right now with the business? Yeah.
Definitely two things, internal processes and time management. This okay. is time management is just like, I have to figure this out. I have to figure this out because I'm just constantly feeling like I haven't answered all the emails. I haven't done the thing I wanted to do. I haven't, like, it's just this constant, like, no, there's no time. There's no time. There's no time. So I have to, I'm working on it. I'm working yeah. on it.
But that's this is the something struggle. You've been talking about for years. Also, mm-hmm. you've been talking about like the AI, like automations and yeah. different, what's the word? There's like the programs that you can buy that will almost not run the business for you, but will like streamline the emails mm-hmm. and like your templates mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. So do you feel like you're getting a handle on it a little bit more, or is it still just like never enough time?
So both, but yeah. remember there's a thing you said in another ramble, the past ramble, where it was like cleaning out your father's office, that you're like 1 hour at a time, yes. one drawer at a time.
Yes, yes.
That's the mindset I've had. Mm-hmm. I started this year. I mean, I'm feeling like I'm late in the game. Like it's been annoying me for a while, and I've been thinking yeah. about it. But I feel like I finally found a strategy, which is that strategy of like one thing at a time, mm-hmm. but actually get through with it. For example, today I spent 2 hours because I have a client who were applying for his permanent residency. He's a business client, and I, as the consultant, I always do a representative submission letter where I explain the case. And I had never sat down to do like full on templates. Like sometimes I'll grab one from a previous client, change things manually.
Yeah.
And then you know how that feels.
I totally know how that goes.
Then I'm like, oh, I have to change this and that. And then, mm-hmm. but I was like, wait, like this could be at the end of the day. There's differences in the content of what we put, yeah. but it's like, I would say 80% is the same. There are very few instances where there's like something super, super like special about
right.
that one
that needs client. To be like custom made.
Uh-huh, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, I'm going to make a real template, and I've been doing this thing using Google Forms. I think I may have mentioned it. Google Forms allows you to like create a questionnaire, and you can link that questionnaire to a template in a Google Doc and then convert it into an actual PDF. Yeah. But you have to be super careful. So I spent like 2 hours today because it was like, okay, I have to do it for this one client. I can either do the same old that I've always done, and part of my brain will constantly be nagging me about how inefficient that is.
Right.
But the other part of my brain is going to be like, doesn't matter. Just get it done. Just get it done. We're going to get it done. Right. So, but then I was like, no, I'm going to take the time and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to use this client as an example, but I'm going to do the template, you know, and that's what I did that today, but that's like one template. Do you know how many templates I need to do? Like hundreds. Okay.
So yeah. Well, that's the thing the time management mm-hmm. and creating these like systems for the business. It's mm-hmm. like upfront, it feels like you're using so much of your time and like energy, and it's not paying off right away, but in the long run, like this is going to pay off so much for you. It's going to help you with this time management. It's going to make your business just feel more efficient. And like, I'm sure you're packaging these in a way that just feels more aesthetically pleasing. Like it's just all being, it's just like completing the package in a way that's going to feel really good. So I think it's awesome that you're already like starting to implement a system to make it better. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. So even though you're struggling, you have a plan. So that's huge. Yeah. What about the internal processes like that goes along with this, right? Like this is like your systems.
Definitely linked. But even more, I'm getting like pretty military about it because we're going to implement a bot. So having a bot forces me to have more defined processes. But now I've just come to the conclusion, you know, if I want to have more clients, I need more processes and I want my clients to feel like they're going through a well-established path, a little bit like when you're in elementary school and you just know like 8 a.m. this is what happens, you know, 9 a.m. we have recess, then we line up to drink water, then we like everything was so structured. Mm-hmm. This is what I want with my clients. Like I want, and this is, again, I did that today with a client that is starting their process tomorrow. And I forced myself, I'm like, tomorrow I have my first meeting with this client. I'm going to have a time. I called it the timetable. That's how like my brain was like. So basically my goal for tomorrow is to have with this client, we're going to do a timetable of what his process is going to be like with real dates and real like actual meetings in the calendar from now till the next 6 months. And he's going to know exactly what's going to happen and I'm going to know what's going to happen. And this is what I'm going to do with all my clients. Everybody's going to have their timetable. And it sounds obvious, but it's not, because this process of immigrating it's so personal and every client has their own kind of life happening. So sometimes they like drop the ball on me and then they show up, you know, like 2 months later and now all of a sudden they're in a rush. But now I'm like, well, you didn't answer me for 2 months. So I kind of moved on to something else and now I have to catch up and refresh my memory and it's like messy. So,
right.
I want to prevent those situations. And it's not the client's fault. It's me, because I'm the one who has to set the pace. It's my business. I'm the one offering the service. If I structure my service in a certain way, they're it's kind of like having a pack of sheep. They're going to follow whatever path you create for them. And that's what I want to do. And I think it's going to allow us to have more clients, have more order, both for me and my assistants. And it's just, so that's today I created that timetable, and tomorrow I'm going to try it for the first time with this client.
That's super smart. And I feel like, to go back to one of your strengths with like having ongoing clients, you said this is going to help you to have more clients. And I feel like it also helps to establish trust, because you're just building that expectation from the beginning that like, here is the system. It's the same for everyone. It's a routine. Like exactly. This is how it goes. It's not
protocols.
Yeah, it just creates that like stability that I think people want in any kind of legal situation like this. Like people want to know they're in good hands with someone who's organized, and this is just reinforcing that. I love it.
Yeah.
So you have plans for your struggles.
I do.
You
have like,
sounds like these struggles aren't going to be struggles.
No, but you know what? Actually, a lot of these struggles were very much made worse during COVID. That's what I'm saying. I had clients who started their process in 2020 and we're 2023 and we're just like getting to it now. And it's
right.
But you know, I can't blame anyone, but the pandemic kind of, I guess, like they say, when you hit rock bottom, that's when you have like no option. That's how I've been feeling during COVID with like clients that are like dispersed. And I was like, oh my God, how can it be that a file is taking so long and it's like so much in and out and so much changes? And obviously it's not good business for me, because it's not.
It's like occupying space and time forever when you're not getting paid anything more for that additional time. And
exactly. Yeah. So I think the COVID situation, which was like super, super bad, is kind of forcing me now that we're no longer in COVID times to really be extreme about these timetables. Oh yeah.
Okay.
That's what's happening.
I love it. All right. So moving in a different direction, a more hypothetical direction. Yeah. If you could start over with the business and money is not an issue. Mm-hmm. All of your personal expenses are covered. You have like a large cash flow to invest in whatever area. And you have all of this knowledge and experience that you've learned, and you have limited resources in the sense of time. What would you do differently? Like, what other things would you focus on?
the same as you answering that you would take like 3 months to just write content, I would take 3 months to prepare all of my little templates and all of my profiles and all of my automations and all of that.
Right.
I would do that. I would do the same marketing. I think I did that pretty well given the resources and that I had. But it would be the protocols. It would be what I'm doing now, like 8 years into it. I would do it like day number one.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine if you were to do that, then you wouldn't have to block off time. Like you'd be able to just take all the clients. Cause like all you said, you have an ongoing flow that you actually have to maybe turn people down or push people out months. Mm-hmm. So in this scenario, like you'd have everything set and ready to go to accept
exactly
as many as you want.
And then something I would do differently for sure, because now I know it exists, is hiring a human resources like outside company to come to my rescue every single time I need to hire or fire someone, because that's not pretty when it doesn't go well.
Yeah, that is something I hear from like all of my business owner friends who have employees. Like it's just an ongoing struggle. And I think I didn't even know. I mean, it makes sense that you could hire, like outsource the human resources, but I've never thought of that before. And that's genius. Like I'm going to tell my friend about that who's having problems right now.
Yeah. I'll check the company that I use if it exists in the US because they're pretty amazing. Before I thought it was only lawyers, and obviously a lawyer will charge you like $350, $400 for like an hour, maybe one contract. But if you have like special questions and stuff, you can't be dashing out that. Well, I mean, you have to, but this human resources company, you pay them per month. And it's like almost 24/7, anything you need. They're amazing. So I would hire them from the beginning.
Yeah. That's so important when you have employees. It's just, it'll take up so much of your time, I think, otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay. What about if you could hire anyone? Like, is there, I mean, you did say the human resources, but anything like, with your systems that you've been talking about, anything honestly, to help with time management?
Yes, I would hire someone to do my social media because that's definitely something that I don't do. That's number one. And I would hire someone who would be like super trained. Like I would train them so well at like little things like doing a quote properly, or I don't know, there's like little things that I do because I have the knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't bother my assistant because I don't want my assistant to be spending time on like actually like reviewing clients' documents and stuff like that. But there's this void sometimes of little things that could be done, but I would like, I need to super train that person. But once they're super trained, I say super trained because it's very industry specific.
Right.
It's not something that they can't just like, oh, they graduate, whatever. Yeah, no, right. Like I have to teach them.
You have to stay with them and like, do it.
So I would like laser focus, you know, train them exactly on certain things and let them handle lots of my email flow. And a robot can't do that. These are questions that are not like
it's automatic very nuanced answers.
But somebody else could know the answer if I teach them. Mm-hmm. I would do that. And another thing I would really enjoy doing is I would probably hire maybe for like 1 year or two, someone who's like, I don't know if this person exists, but some sort of like tech, like just like a genius in everything tech to like / design. Who, because I have all these ideas of cool things that I want to do digitally, both for my protocols internally and things I would like to do for my clients while we're doing the process. But I need someone to like sit down and create the program. Like there, it's not a plug and play that I can just like buy online a subscription and kind of pull it off myself. Like these are like ideas I have in my mind that I need a programmer to sit down and develop the code. And hopefully he also has an artistic mind, so it's not just going to be like a boring layout. Like,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Like a user experience is going to be accounted for. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to hire someone like that for like 1 or 2 years and just for the implementation, and then just have him as an outsource for like maintenance,
upkeep stuff. That's a great idea. It's like you need just a tech genius to just watch everything you do every day, and then like streamline some things that are just going to be more.
Oh my god, that would be so good.
That's the dream. Can I add that to my episode too? Like, now I want that also. Okay. All right. So, last kind of closing question. Given the sentence, same process yields the same results, can you think of anything in your business that you would change to have different results?
Yeah. That has been my, and that's why I put it there, because it's been my motto for this year. Yeah. I was like, no. I gotta change my ways, or else I'm gonna have different. I'm not gonna have the different results. Honestly, I'm changing everything. Like I said, I'm changing my protocols. Just today, I was talking to someone / programmer designer because I have an idea of how I want to do something in my website that's gonna be completely different. So I'm changing the way my website's gonna look. I want to change my behavior on social media so I can have, you know, a more uniform. I have a lot that has been accomplished in my company, and I feel like it's not reflected properly on social media. I have a new YouTube videos are coming because I got a new idea that I want to put out there. This is a thing, interesting fact on YouTube. There's a bunch of copycats in my industry who literally copy what I do. And you know when they say like copy is the best kind of flattery, or
yes, imitation is the best form of flattery, I think.
Exactly. So I also have to always show these people who's the boss. So I actually, but I don't honestly
put out some new content for them to copy.
You can do it for that. But it is like, I do it because I have ideas that are creative. That's why these people are just copying me. But because I'm creative, I'm always going to be one step ahead of the game. So I have ideas that I can't disclose right now, but that's going to happen. Like the way I do my YouTube videos is also going to be done differently. So basically this is the year of doing things differently. Yeah.
I love it. I think that's the only way to keep it fresh, to keep like, keep your clients engaged and keep with the times, because things change so much in any industry. And yeah, I love that you're open to that and you're actually like embracing it full on.
Yeah. And obviously the bot, right? That's another thing that's new, and it's, I'm like, let's just try it. Let's just see what happens. Yeah, you know, really, I'm going to give it like 2 years. And then if it yields results, then we'll keep him.
All right. We're going to have to check in a couple years about this bot and see if he's kicked him to the curb or if he's still on the payroll.
Exactly.
All right. Well, maybe before we close, can you share with us like maybe your top 2-3 places that people can find you? Like,
yes,
is it YouTube? Is it your website? Where do you recommend people go?
Okay. First thing is my website. It's always going to be the most robust kind of area of information. So that's northhorizonimmigration.ca. Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt here because that's one of the things I want to do differently this year. I just want to buy I'm going to buy a bunch of domains. And they're all going to point to my website because I have I have some already that I bought, but I'm just going to keep buying some. So I'm going to have some in Spanish, some in English, some. So depending on the audience, like this answer might be different just because my domain is pretty long. But yeah, anyways, so right now it's northhorizonimmigration.ca and my YouTube channel, same thing, North Horizon Immigration. Those are my two best sources so far.
Yeah. And like you said, there's a lot of free information on your YouTube that if people are interested but not quite ready to jump the gun, that's a great place to start, it sounds like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing and being so honest about all the highs and the lows. I mean, honestly, it sounds like a lot of highs. I'm really, really like,
you know why it sounds like a lot of highs?
Know you.
Thank you. But it's a lot of highs because, and this is super cliche, but every low, I twist it around. Like, there's just no other way, or else you'd be out of business. Right. So every low has to be turned around into a solution.
Like, even your lows, you're flipping them into something that's going to probably be a area of success very soon. Like, it's going to be something that other businesses would probably pull inspiration from, because it's,
yeah,
like I'm inspired by the way that you're doing these templates and just mm-hmm. like doing the time management solutions.
One day, I think you would like it.
Yeah, I think I would like, too.
Yeah. I have this saying, I'll close with that. I read it on the wall of the business chamber room where we did one of the mm-hmm. seminars. It's, I'm going to say it in Spanish because that it rhymes and that's how I read it. So it's, hay dos opciones. Ganar o aprender. It doesn't rhyme. I don't know how it rhymes. Where's the rhyme? Ganar o aprender. So, but okay, this is why it rhymes. Because basically what it says is there's only two options. You can either win or you can learn. But here's where it rhymes. In Spanish, the word learn rhymes with the word lose. So what they did is they replaced the word lose by the word learn. Because
it would
say ganar o perder, which is to win or to lose. But they said ganar o aprender, which is to win. To learn, sorry.
Yeah. I love it. It's exactly what you're doing. Like you're taking these mm-hmm. opportunities that some people might just like see as a loss and just maybe give up or just limit themselves and be like, well, mm-hmm. I guess I can only take this many clients forever. Instead, you're like, no, there's a way that I can learn from this and actually become stronger and make my business more efficient, make my client roster larger, make more money. Like mm-hmm. it's just an exponential growth. Like you are learning in so many different areas because of this struggle. So mm-hmm. I think it's really inspirational. And I think it's so badass how much you've grown, like as a business and as an individual through your business. Like you're just such a confident role model to, I know, a lot of women. I feel like myself and also like a lot of your friends in Vancouver that I've met, I feel like they're all inspired by you and it's just really cool to see. So
thanks.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's badass. You should be very proud.
I am. That's why my birthday, remember? I want to thank me.
Yes. All right. Well, I think for sharing is caring, we already shared.
Oh, yeah. My website.
Yeah. Check out the website and the YouTube. And thanks for being here and listening, you guys.
Yeah. She's listening to these like nerdy business podcasts. I don't know. It gives me hope.
I'm loving them.
Maybe people are like folding the laundry in a more efficient way or thinking of like protocols for like the way they take their walks. I don't know. Yeah.
Managing time around the house with unloading the dishwasher. I don't know.
Yeah. Or like having timetables for their kids so their kids are not like running life and they are the ones that are running the house.
Honestly, that's a really great thing for kids. Kids love routine. I think that's not a bad idea. All right.
Also, we'll see you guys next week. You'll hear from us next week. Ciao.